This one's called I Am. I am. Scribbles of affection set adrift. Floating in no particular direction, my ending was swift. I was. Tossed without a second thought. My words soaked. Perverted into an inky blot. Birds and fish won't pick at me. My meaning, memory, begins to atrophy. I don't struggle with the current. I sink and dance to the bottom. Piece by piece, fragmented, lost.
Thank you, Simon. And his first night at O'Vale, and he was twice on the mic. I apologize before I say your name. Next up is Lavisia.
Hi. I'm nervous. G is for gambler, because that's what you are. A is for asshole, because... A is for asshole, but one I cared for. M is for mish, because at times you kept me together. B is for brave, because you are trying to change. N is for love, because we shared things together. E is for extreme, the emotions I felt after everything. S is for sacrifice, because you left it all go. E is for empty, when I felt all alone. E is for X is for x-ray, because you left my life in view for everyone to see. Gambler and sex is what I see.
So, I only read this poem in Ireland because Ireland is actually wonderful about food allergies. I have so many food allergies that I wrote a whole book about it. One of my books is called Don't Kill the Birthday Girl, Tales from an Allergic Life. And after I published that book, I had not one, but two conversations with men who said, I have written a book I think you'll love. And each time in the book, someone died of their food allergies. They said, you'll enjoy this. Yeah. This poem will be in the New York Times, I don't know when, but sometime in the coming month. It's called Death by Chocolate. A man wants my take on his novel, where a wife dies with a peanut in her mouth. After we've met her husband, in the sexual act with his secretary, in the passenger seat of his late life convertible car. A man wants my take on his novel, where the husband's marital issues are solved by her anaphylactic collapse after he serves her takeout, spiked with a cashew. And for another 300 pages, he wonders, was it an accident or did I know? Somewhere out there, a man is writing a novel about a chef with a taste for adding shrimp paste to curry and his unsuspecting shellfish allergic wife, and I will be asked for my take on it. I have been offered dozens of takes on my own death. Suggestions abound. Death by ice cream, death by cake, death by cucumber, though that would take a while, perhaps gazpacho soup as a shortcut, death by mango, death by Spanish omelet, death by dairy. An abstraction that is sexy to someone who has never side-eyed cream brought out slopping toward the coffee, who has never felt histamine's palm at her throat, who says cheese makes life worth living. These wives, I see you. women who did not grow up aspiring to be someone else's plot device. We almost die a lot. Or we die a lot. Almost. We're over it. Our mouths have more to say.
Next up, we have the fabulous Jim Crowe.
So this is called God Has Left the World on Autopilot. God has left the world on autopilot, retired to the southern edge of heaven. He has left the users with an ambiguous manual to figure it out themselves. The Bible. You can request technical troubleshooting at a genius bar of priests, where they will hear your problems and then shrug and ask if you've tried 5 Hail Marys. You can also call the customer service helpline of heaven, but you'll be waiting on hold, listening to hymns for your whole lifetime before anyone answers. God is unaware that the world was hacked by a loud orange virus attacking the Western Hemisphere, sending a fuse of trolls around the motherboard. At the end of that instruction manual is a disclaimer on built-in obsolescence. The fine print, the warranty, it reads that all things return to dust.
An exhibition some years ago in Tobin Street. Walter Fitzwalter and Roger de Bristol lived here in 2 houses, one previously unknown, amid shells and combs and pots and glassware. They made a life answer the bells. 15 feet below the cinema, the soil is darker than bitter chocolate and very moist, and we grow no useful fruits, a rich cake and not nutritious. The slender spade of a friend digs as I make my way on the path above, being warned to mind my step. We meet the director, see the artifacts, combs, pots, coins, and pins. Return to the present, our concerns are not theirs. To make a census of old buildings, of habitations in an old city, coins show trade connections and distant kings. We interrogate the site and build again.
This is not a poem. Attempting to write a script for a stage that's going to maybe combine dance and I don't really know what it is, but I think this is the voice of Willow, what it is for now. I will see how it goes, so feedback would be very welcome. That day, cloud descended like thick white smoke, obscuring everything. Even the ever-present mountains seemed to disappear, their looming darkness forgotten. All that was beyond me was shrouded, while everything close by was framed in an opaque brightness. I sat by the shoreline for a time, felt the stillness of stone enter me. My eyes stopped wandering and rested their gaze on the clear water, through to a myriad of pebbles and shells below. I listened. The water lapped so softly, rippled and purled in and out, caressing its stony edges into submergence. always getting that bit closer, deeper, gently shifting the stones below, loosening them. I sat there, still. The water rose, licked my toes at first. It was cool, not cold, and for a moment, I thought that perhaps I was stone, that I could stay like that forever, become home to mollusks and reeds. But as this thought rose, something pricked my foot, a small twisted stick with a single thorn. When I reached down and touched the wood, a strange wind passed through me and a great shadow moved across the water, as if my dissolving blood were stretching a path to the other side and beyond the mist. I had a strong desire to dive in, to swim across, but I cannot swim, and the water was deep and very wide. The longer I stood, the more unquiet the sea became. It swelled and pooled, rushing and gushing into itself, pouring from the rocks it spilled over. The waves began to rise and fall and crash, and I found myself weeping, tasted my salt on my lips, and wished that I was all water, that I could flow from the rock to the sea.
Poem called "Aware All Us of Being Faithful to Stone Age," which translates roughly but precisely as "All We Know About Protestants." And some days I'm tempted to dedicate it to Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill, but I think better of it. It's really a love poem to my wife. Bina Macanta, mi hunan is shinghain. Mi lutsiko fos kunis te yanov. Prati a veru na breb chach de ancient. Ni credin siad sa vaidan vwira na sa vaidan vara, Maria Goretti na Little Nelly. Ein ni a beder de vera chorer, dreir George Bernard Shaw. Tan a fir daun on grian, liefa, laan dar ira, na mana fion, gorm huilach, akali. Nur hen siad har bride, shasan rosana ara, Nochten papini a grie leonte, curren prechan catilicach a chiaun tarnapa fin a schiehan leonte. Enid blighten a danamigiad, a vuin dive fuckloi runde, seti, cooch, pantry, cool chisten, preserves, suv, pudding, milchog, ginger beer. Ni henshid fuisten, ach lauren gadirach le die. Gan caras a chuart, na engel cuidachta, na teachta dála. Bíne maha, ní léni diantaca, bagá a vahav. Har a sin a ghinne, taid cho holc, cho hat, leis an gudel a ghin. Nos gair go meg, le cún of dé, is a váhar, banahe. All we know about Protestants. Decent people, not at all like us. They still don't know how to make tea, boil potatoes, tell proper lies. They don't believe in the Virgin Mary, in mermaids, Maria Goretti, or Little Nelly. Anything you could put your finger on, according to George Bernard Shaw. The men are tanned, well-spoken, sincere. The women, blonde, blue-eyed, agile. When they walk by, roses stand to attention. Poppies bare their wounded hearts. A Catholic crow puts his turnip head under his broken wing. Enid Blyton baptized them and taught them their secret language. Settee, couch. Pantry, back kitchen. Preserves, jam. Pudding, dessert. Ginger beer. They don't go to confession, but speak directly to God, with no cronies, guardian angels, or TDs to help them. They're so honest, they've done nothing that requires forgiveness. Apart from that, my friend, they're every bit as bad, as odd as the rest of us, or they will be soon enough with the help of God and His Blessed Mother.
My partner is from Antrim and Catholic and Protestants is that Protestants keep their toasters in the cupboard.
Haley
Hughes.
How is she? How is she?
So, two things before I start. The title of this is Referred Pain. And referred pain is simply if you have like an aching joint, and that's like the trigger point, and then something else hurts. So that would be referred pain. So because your joint hurts, it somehow causes something else to hurt. And it's not a very scientific explanation, but that's what it is. And then another thing, I'm sure it's true for Ireland, but in the States we have intelligence tests, IQ tests, and they test a lot of things, but some of the things they test are logic and general knowledge, and your ability to organize visual pictures and solve problems. So I think that's all I have to explain. This poem has an epigraph. All we've got are metaphors, and they're never quite right. And that's from A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan. Referred pain. One, you feel it, the knot in your back, that trigger point. You imagine fumbling over a mass of dirty shoelaces or the weight of a Glock in your hands. But it is none of these. It is not even a knot. It is pain, inextricable from the vertebrae, the brain that registers the pain, makes it more real than an abstract noun, the naming can, inextricable from you. The physician does not wear gloves when he runs a hairy knuckle down your spine. You straighten up. He tells you your spine, rather, you, are crooked. Two, usually it's your left leg that hurts. The toes curl under, the heel jerks up. Spasticity, the neurologist notes, as if that should conjure up a tabby or a lazy boy in your mind's eye. As if he just wrote cat or chair instead. You picture a taunt rubber band, one that might snap. You buy a cane in your 20s, you refuse to use it. You trip on uneven sidewalks, rocky overgrowth, lose your balance on escalators, or while standing still. You always give back to Mother Earth what is given you. Your knees look like peach pits, fraught, pocked with brown scabs. Three, day is to night as boy is to girl, 100, 94, 88. What is a snake? What does a snake eat? What does a snake do? Use the plastic shapes to complete the picture. I can't help you. This is a test. How did we get here? How can we make it stop? You ask.
Your head in your hands. Thank you. Thank you, Lily. Jamie Lawson. Because the night that's in it, something I wrote a few weeks ago for Shots in the Glade. I'm trying to handle the Cooper Buckle in my rusty Evening Sir Irish. And it's not great. Okay. Listen to that, lads, the language is back. We have podcasts and pop-ups and really good rap tracks that challenge the narrative that it is waning Waxing's more like it. It's time for reclaiming the Gaelic that ancient invaders would take from us. Not that I'm saying our neighbours are hated, but this is our chance to just take it all back in our verses, our poems, our songs, and our tracks. My Gaelga is basic, I need some more training, so I'll try to rein in my fear of mistaking a Shavu or Uru or Tishil or two, my fear of inflaming a bout of complaining from militant Gaelgory sitting ashamed that I left out some Shave ahead. All I can say is that if we're afraid of engaging full stop, the rate of revival will drop. We can't let that happen. The fact of the matter is that when the Sassanid left us Ganshanga, they left us with half of our literary hands to be tied up and trapped behind all of our backs. And so just for the crack, I have freed up my atrophy glove and we'll see what it has in the tank. Nilak kukla fakulagum, ak, fanagi nomad, agasashi gilom, tanchanga dio, agaspeshi gajo, mayurfaina enrodella, na ish lo, ta papa kwilta down, agasbana marnikap, se shinanam of egg data van recap, marnir yarna me astadera skilga, erfag octina, aknak lumisha ansha, akdena tina eron microphone, ni bean bail in a husk, agus, Tasegum will come at Lehena Akatasa Lot, Tafibana enough, Tadina Buck, Tadina sleeping rough, Tadina Erna Shrine, Agairi Fur, Agairi Fluck, Octar Gultur on a Tavuktuk, Star Changa Parthen Skull, Tom Gilga Chapter Asherish, New Sparnavi Shimi.
Watching a meltdown. In a sound eye, your heart is full of light, after a moving dissociation from the beloved. A stable black coffee sings in a miniature box. Anxiety from separation still acute as required. The regular lighting not matching this crash, sitting alone in classrooms above it all. Appropriate poison where none is engendered. Never let alone, suffering for artifice. Hospital Novel Sanctum met the radio to miss the DJ's voice, the only rule here. Excavate the flowers to someone else's liking. The stinging cold is all I have now to savour. Crying under dark, asking for all. Local history bedevils the situation well. Throwing obligations into the fire at will. Slightest trace of vanity cornered to rest. I could never enter this, crying through brass tacks. Critical reception, needy nails of glory. Rarely swapping points for a show of affection. Remaining quiet in the future of a paramount act. Not enough for vodka, enough for catcalls. Heart's greatest hit the bridge not far enough. Returning to the forward is probably a worse option. Magnificent turning over is a fair indeed. Thank you.
Patricia, and Tor Falkner, open mic, Phillips Bland. I'm going through an unusual writer's block, so I'm going to read out the lyrics of a song by Lal Waterson. It's called Red Wine and Promises. It's a beautiful album called Bright Phobos. And if you're into folk music in the 60s and 70s, I strongly advise you listen to it. It's an absolutely beautiful album. And I'm just going to read it out, and I'm going to let the lyrics speak for themselves, because it's, I think she vividly describes the character very well. It's like the Prince Calls by Phil Lynott. I'd love to read that out as well, but I'll get straight into it, excuse me. There's bright water all around me, and a cheap red wine in my drunken brain has left a burning flame in my belly. And I don't need nobody's helping hand. I don't need nobody's arm around me. If I was a black beetle, upside down, I could kick all night long and never turn around. But I'm flat on my back in the rainbow rain. Still I know in the morning I'll be on my feet again. Just can't get my grip on the ground. I'm upside down on the right way round. I promise thee, my shameless lady, who laughs out loud in a sad patient night, always to be honest thee, in me walking dreams or me drunken nights. I don't fear the yearning sunshine morning, I'm forward and running back again. Fell in the street in a drunken heat, there's bright water all around me, and the deep wet wine in my drunken brain has left a burning flame in my belly. I don't need nobody's helping me, I don't need no bugger's arm around me. There's bright odor all around me, and the deep red wine in my drunken brain has left a burning flame in my belly. I don't need nobody's helping me, I don't need nobody's arm around me. Just can't get a grip on the ground, I'm upside down, but the right way around.
Anniversary was Pom Pom last Saturday and my dad's next Saturday. They're two great guys and I just have two songs with them before, but it's their song. Gave them my love and my own, I'm sure Carter was a mission in my circle. My the dump of the castle.
Ich fahre nicht. Saying that because if you said that you'd get no more work in the music world. So I usually do a poem in here. But the advantage is supposed to playing a bit of music, being a musician, as opposed to a poet, there's more avenues of prostitution available to you.
Show us your legs.
It's a very simple song. And apologies to my American compatriots here, because I'm an American citizen myself. I have the right to bear arms. Unfortunately, they won't let me have an M16 to quell the rabbits in my backyard. Here's a song I wrote a number of years back when I was in Texas. And I thought it was kind of funny because I met some lovely Mexican people and played some music with them. And these terrible people were saying, "When are you going home?" They were talking to the Mexicans. And little did they know that the Mexicans were at home, because they were in Texas, Tijas, which was part of Mexico at one stage. So here's the song, very simple song. Go back to your homeland, where the homeland is where you live. You've got your border to keep law and order, keep you free from Mexico. You like to hear our music, senoritas dancing round. You like to dance to polka and a good old Cajunta sound. Go back to your homeland, what a homeland where you live. You've got your border to keep law and order, to keep you free from Mexico. You like the enchilada, the burrito and refried beans, but you say we're legal and go from the land of your dreams. Go back to your homeland, our homeland is where you live. You've got your border to keep law and order, to keep you free from Mexico. We got our independence in 1821. We welcomed here the gringo to live with us as one. Go back to your homeland, but our homeland is where you live. You've got your border to keep law and order, to keep you free from Mexico. Guest of our nation, we are no longer your slaves.
The natives are in reservations, in the land of the free and the brave. Go back to your homeland, but our homeland is where you live. You guard your borders, to keep law and order, to keep you free from Mexico. Go back to your homeland, but our homeland is where you live. You guard your borders, to keep law and order, to keep you free from Mexico. Thank you.